Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball Rugby.
This opens the door for Sam Prendergast again, and it's important you don't dismiss this guy, because I know he's had his issues defensively and from a physical point of view, but he's still a very talented 10 and very young, and obviously would be great for the Irish team.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off The Ball Daily.
Welcome, folks, to Off The Ball Sunday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through the 7th. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're having a great weekend in the sun. What is coming up over the next 6 hours on your radio across Ireland? So, Mayo into the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship Final. Who will join them? We have the former Dublin forward, Paddy Andrews at Croke Park, alongside Tommy Rooney for updates and analysis of Kerry versus Dublin, the two powerhouses of the game, throw in their semi-final from 4 o'clock. The World Cup semi-final lineup is now complete. It'll be France versus Spain in Dallas on Tuesday and England against Argentina in Atlanta on Wednesday. We have the ex-Republic of Ireland international Keith Tracy and the former English League and League of Ireland striker Owen Doyle in the studio from 4 to talk about the greatest show on earth. We're going to keep you abreast of the Wimbledon men's singles final between Yannick Sinner and Alexander Zverev from London, and Hugh Farrelly and Brendan O'Brien are our guests this week on the Sunday paper review. So much going on, folks. If you want to get involved in the conversation, please WhatsApp us 0879 180 180 0879 180 180 with a comment, a question, something nice to say, or maybe a rant even. We have Monaghan's finest, Shane Hannan, here for the news round. Good afternoon, Shane.
Afternoon, John.
How many hours sleep have you got?
I went to bed around 1:30 last night, and I know I was so close to the kickoff, the 2 a.m. Irish time kickoff for Argentina Switzerland, but I couldn't rationalise it in my head, facing the drive up and down today. Had a long day on a Sunday for myself and yourself. Just wasn't feasible, and particularly when the first game went to extra time, I was thinking, nah, there goes my hopes. I was getting sleepy, I have to say, towards the tail end of extra time of the England game, but entertaining, very entertaining.
Alexis McAllister headed in for Argentina and the hydration break came and I said, I'm done. I thought they're going to win this easily, and they eventually won it, but it wasn't without incident. 3-1 victory for Argentina. England beating Norway 2-1 after extra time.
Yeah, the England-Norway one was fascinating to watch.
Do you prefer England still in it?
Nope. I'm from a border county, John, so you can imagine it's a quick no. I know there are people out there who like to see England do well, and they maybe support some of the English players. They maybe like Jude Bellingham, like Harry Kane, naturally follow English football clubs. As I do Manchester United. But when it comes to the English national football team, I with every sinew and bone in my body, I will them to lose every game. And so last night I was a huge Norway supporter, but that's not pettiness. I think it's okay.
It's sporting terms.
It's rivalry. That's what it is. And
you can separate that. I mean, I've got my sister married an Englishman. I've got half Irish, half English nephews and nieces. I'm okay with it. Yeah. Such as all the nonsense that associated with it, but I'm okay with it.
It's the circus. It's the media circus. And Thomas Tuchel's likeable. Jude Bellingham's likeable. There are a lot of likeable players in this team.
And people will go, oh, this is tedious, and why are you talking about this, and give it up. And if England were watching us, they'd be supporting us, but it is something that we're interested in talking about. And like I go back to 8 years ago, England were in the semi-final, the last time they were in the semi-final against Croatia. More people watched that in this country than watched the All-Ireland hurling final and the All-Ireland football final and indeed the World Cup final between France and Croatia.
Yeah,
that's facts.
It's incredible, isn't it?
A lot of people would be watching our England-Argentina and all the history of the game, the hand of God 40 years on.
Las Malvinas.
Beckham in France and Saint-Étienne.
Yeah, it's going to be...
And it was interesting, Kevin Coban yesterday. Beckham is everywhere in America, apparently. I mean, it was obviously a very good move to go and play in America, because he is now... You know the way some bands never cracked America?
Mm.
Like ABBA only had one number one in America. Oasis, Robbie Williams never really cracked America.
Yeah.
Beckham has cracked America.
Oh, he has. He is the most corporate of corporate human beings. Now, you see him, as Kev said yesterday, on so many advertisements. And as you said, he's broken the American market massively. He was sat in the Royal Box in Wimbledon last week, and a few people had pointed out that he had a watch brand. And he was sitting for a long time with a, you know, his hand very carefully placed, that his watch was on show. He's like,
just coincidentally.
Coincidentally, of course. But there's that aspect of David Beckham. And when it comes to like political issues and sociological issues across the world, you won't really hear Beckham speak out on them. A lot of famous people have spoken out on Gaza and Palestine, and David Beckham is certainly not one of those, because he has all of these commercial deals and he does not want to step on any toes in any direction. So he's a fascinating... I was a fan. I was a huge Beckham fan as a kid, growing up a Manchester United supporter, and got all the haircuts, went bald when he went bald, got the Mohican when he got the Mohican.
Did you bleach your hair?
Didn't quite go that far, but you'll ask, my parents will tell you when I was...
Did you have Beckham, because I went past a classic football shirt store that's just opened near us here in Dublin, and they had Cantona 7 and they've all the jerseys. Did you have Beckham on the back of
I had Beckham on the back of jerseys.
Did you?
I had a goldfish called Beckham, John. unfortunately, it led to an early demise when my younger brother decided to feed the fish Cheerios and milk into the bowl, and it didn't work out too well. So Per Beckham didn't last. So yeah, but
it's almost like a drama series or something. Or
is. But no, I don't like. I had so much respect for David Beckham back then. I don't really have as much respect for him now with all the commercialization of him as a product.
Okay.
So it's fascinating to see him pop up on screen, but obviously he was living and breathing every moment, and Hey Jude, he was singing along to Hey Jude afterwards, and Jude Bellingham was the man of the moment.
They've kind of changed the songs. They're doing a Marmite one for Thomas Tuchel. The Marmite song, and then the Wonderwall. It was Sweet Caroline, wasn't it?
It's thankfully gone. The Rugby still use it, and the Aviva still use it for Leinster games.
Strangely.
But England...
Did they deserve it?
They probably edged it, didn't they, yesterday?
Bellingham's class was the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, he is playing amazingly well. 6 goals in the tournament. That first goal, that was like a turbo boost of skill.
Yeah.
And then the second goal, the anticipation. When Morgan Rogers, it was lively when he came on, had that shot in extra time, which Nealand, who had such a good tournament, was very upset at the final whistle.
It was similar to the Senna Lammens one for Belgium.
Was, much so. And Haaland, like Sorloth, that'll run, but I think 1-0 up, Norway, and then didn't pass it, gloried it.
Yeah.
And it could have been 2-0, and it could have been, that was a sliding doors moment.
England don't look... England don't look that convincing, and yet they
Argentina have not been convinced.
No, they have enough of that Argentina team. That's a fascinating game.
Because surely the sport doesn't go in these lines, but surely the winners are coming from the other. Like the best two teams are France and Spain.
Yeah, but once it gets to a final, gets to
penalties, but potentially.
Yeah.
20 years ago, Italy and France. You wouldn't have thought Italy were possibly the best team in that World Cup.
Mm.
Won it on penalties.
I just had a feeling it was heading to penalties last night, but then at halftime,
I thought England would win more comfortably. I mean, they dominated the ball the first quarter. I mean, I just can't believe I've said that. Mm. But that's the way the hydration breaks go. And then completely different game, conceded. Then Bellingham's brilliance makes it 1-1. Then I thought Norway with Nusa and Bob were going to make hay, but actually then Jed Spence comes on and is Maradona for half an hour.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Brilliant. And they have that impact off the bench, England, which is key. Like, did the controversy after the equalising goal for England, did the ball from the Swiss or the kick out hit was one of those spider cam cables?
Yeah.
And obviously FIFA came out and released a statement and said that their sensor data, which picks up every movement or touch on a ball, did not pick up anything, which is strange, because naturally we've seen in games at this World Cup it picks up if someone's hairs have touched a ball, but
yeah,
the trajectory did seem to change from my eyes. I suppose you have to take the FIFA statement as what it is, but
the problem is the Trump thing is everybody's now
the trust
is,
the trust's gone, John.
Trust gone. Everybody's questioning everything. And Pierluigi Collina, who I do like, has come and said, look folks, nobody can question the integrity of the officials, but it just feels that there's a trust deficit with FIFA at the moment. Jude Bellingham, I mean, I love the post-match. Thomas Tuchel went on a rant. Gabriel Clark was trying to hold on for dear life. kind of sloppy and not good enough, and a bit like Alex Ferguson in the 80s when Aberdeen won a cup final. And then Jude Bellingham, you were going to play it here.
Yeah, it was strange. Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen the clips with Gabriel Clark, and he repeated it with BBC and other journalists afterwards, that Tuchel was a bit critical of the team's performance, and some might see that as strange after them getting through to a World Cup semi-final. But after those interviews, England star Jude Bellingham, speaking after the game, didn't agree with some of that criticism from his manager.
Thomas has just been quite critical of the performance after the game. Does that show the standards that he expects, the standards you guys expect of each other, and maybe that there's more to come from the team?
Maybe, but maybe he doesn't know what it's like to play in those kind of conditions against Erling Haaland, Odegaard, Nusa, Sorloth. You know, that's not an easy team to play against. So, you know, I think we've tried to create a positive environment. We should continue that going into the final four. I can't speak highly enough of the lads. You're not going to win every game popping the ball and making 1,000 passes. Sometimes you have to win dirty, and we've done that again tonight.
Two strong characters, Thomas Tuchel and Jude Bellingham. Maybe like that Smith-style creative tension will deliver England the World Cup for the first time in 60 years. So 2-1 win over Norway after extra time in Miami. Argentina, as I said, McAllister headed in 1-0. You're thinking, okay, but then Switzerland played very well. Dan and Doyle of Nottingham Forest equalised, and then they Braylon Bolo sent off for simulation, the second yellow, and then that opens the door for Alvarez with the worldie and Martinez to win it for Argentina, who've not had a straightforward passage, I would say.
No, far from straightforward. But Argentina just seemed to be getting the job done and facing adversity very, very well. We saw it against Egypt. We saw it against Cape Verde as well. They're just getting through these games. There is that edge about them still. And there is the unknown a little bit about Argentina in this World Cup. We saw what they could do 4 years ago. But they're scraping past some teams. But that's sometimes all you need to do. And you need to time your run as well. And maybe they're timing it that they're peaking now for the semi-finals and final. And they'll be licking their lips at the prospect of England next week on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Really looking forward to that. And of course on Tuesday night we'll have France and Spain going head to head on Tuesday evening. But yeah, I thought it was strange the Bellingham and Tuchel stuff after the game, but quite likeable as well. Tuchel using his moment to maybe rile up the players a little bit, and naturally when it's reported back to Jude Bellingham, who is exhausted, by the way, the heat was seemed so intense in Miami last night, and for him to immediately be asked after the match while he's drained and clearly exhausted that his manager all felt we didn't do this. You can imagine the immediately reaction will be, well, he wasn't out on the pitch and he doesn't know how difficult it was. But I think Tuchel knows what he's doing. And I actually quite liked it from both Tuchel and the response from Bellingham as well.
Is it a success now if they go out their tournament? It's probably neutral if they go out now.
Yeah, well,
because Tuchel's the hard assassin to win it.
True. Yeah, anything but a win.
Losing to the world champions.
They get to this point now, they have to win it. England will not be pleased to go out to the semi-final stage. Why would they be? They've a team stacked full of talent. These generations don't come along too often. Who knows, in 5-10 years, if England will have as good a team as this. So it's a chance. It's a real chance. But yeah, the back of your head is telling you, well, could they cope with that French team? Probably not. Could they cope with that Spanish team? Maybe. Portugal almost got by that Spanish team and others. But Spain looks so solid defensively. It's just hard to see it. But look, anything can happen. I'm just saddened, John. I'm saddened that after, what, over a month, we've come down to just, what, 4 games left? 2 semi-finals, a third, fourth place playoff and a final. I'm getting emotional at the thought of it now. It's not, next Tuesday is the next game. So we've a couple of days of nothingness.
Next Sunday could be one of the greatest sporting days ever. The Open final round could be an Irish player in contention over at Birkdale, and then you got the World Cup final, like at the hurling final.
Yeah, plenty happening.
We've got a game in the Women's Premier Division today.
Yep, the SSE Trusty Women's Premier Division. Galway United host Shamrock Rovers at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
So Gaelic games wise.
Yes, the second of this year's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship semi-finals takes place at Croke Park today. Dublin face old foes Kerry at 4 p.m. Ger Brennan's side come into the encounter off the back of their impressive victories over Donegal and Galway. Jack O'Connor's Kerry team got the better of Tyrone in last month's quarterfinal and are 2 wins away from retaining the Sam Maguire Cup.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run. you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
The winners of today's tie will, of course, take on Mayo in the decider. The Westerners secured a comfortable 3 goals and 23 points to 15-point defeat of Louth in yesterday's semi-final at GAHQ. A 17-point victory. Who would have seen that coming before the game? Ryan O'Donoghue, Dara Byrne and Conor Loftus all with the goals for Andy Moran's men as they advanced to the final for the first time in 5 years. The build-up for Mayo now begins, and their boss Andy Moran took issue to this question from John Fogarty of the Irish Examiner at the post-match press conference yesterday. Have a listen.
Andy, in terms of the build-up, do you think the penalty will go crazy again, or do you think they'll be burnt 1-2 minutes out?
Nah, see, like, you laugh at that, lads. I don't laugh at that. I find it very, actually, dismissive, if I'm being honest. I think it's a bullshit question, if I'm being honest. And I don't mean that in any disrespect, but I think if it's a disrespectful question. Our county have been starved the last 4 or 5 years. If they go a bit nuts, let them. You're going to go to a game tomorrow. Every single one of you are going to write the Kerry or Dublin are going to win the All-Ireland Final. Right? Right? Does anyone here think they're going to win the All-Ireland Final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If our supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
What, Andy Moran?
Yeah. To be honest, kind of similar to the Tuchel and Bellingham thing, where I can see both sides. I don't think John Fogarty's question was nonsense.
But if we're talking about Andy Moran's reaction, then he's won the he's achieved what maybe he didn't plan to it, but yeah.
The question was perfectly fine. So the question, in terms of the build-up, do you think the county will go crazy again, or do you think they've been burnt too many times? And that's the hype question with
Absolutely
Mayo.
Absolutely, legitimate question. They've lost 11 All-Ireland finals from 1989.
Yeah.
Andy Moran's lost a host of them.
But Andy Moran's response was brilliant, because he's getting ahead of this, because he knows he's just watched his team win by 17 points in an All-Ireland semi-final, and he knows that could lead into some quarters all of a sudden saying, he understands that the winners of today's game between Dublin and Kerry will be the favourites, but Mayo have closed that gap now. And if Mayo play Dublin in an All-Ireland final in a couple of weeks' time, it'll be seen as a 50-50 game.
So I don't know, I'm not from Mayo, so I don't know, say from 0 to 100 of the hypometer, where do they go? Do the disappointments mean that it's harder to get back from 0 to 100 in 5 minutes? Or are they already going out to buy the third jersey tomorrow and book their trains and...
They should, though. I think they should get carried away a little bit here, because...
What did Adam Hansen say about Manchester United? He can't with anything with kids. And they got a couple of teenagers in there, and Kobe McDonald and Dara Byrne, that are playing with utter freedom.
Mm.
217 from the full forward line yesterday. Ryan O'Donoghue with 111.
Mm.
Look, Mayo are going to do this. It's like a golfer goes into the clubhouse with the 64, and then everybody collapses around him, and he's won a major championship. Mayo are going to win the All-Ireland like that. They're going to win it when we least expect. Even now, we don't expect Mayo to win the All-Ireland. They could win it when we never expected them to win it.
Yeah.
30 years ago, the Meath game, they should have won. Those matches with Dublin, the Donegal game 2012, you think they would have won it. Tyrone 5 years ago, everybody, oh, you've beaten Dublin. You've knocked out the 6 in a row winners. Oh, you're going to win it now. They didn't. So maybe it'll be that they could play Kerry and win it.
Mm.
It's going to happen that way, if it's going to happen at all, I feel.
Could Mayo be Kerry? If Kerry win today, could Mayo be Kerry? Absolutely. Of course.
It's an amateur sport. Of course it can happen. Yeah. It's an amateur sport with the new rules, a different game, and a very good coach in Andy Moran.
Mm.
And young stars that could be, I mean, Kobe McDonald could end up being whatever. The sky's the limit in Australia for him. So,
I mean, what a story it would be. If we allow ourselves to dream, imagine Kobe McDonald goes off to Australia having just, at 18 years of age, just done his leaving cert, and he's helped Mayo win the first All-Ireland since 1951. And then he goes off to Australia. And no one will care that he's gone off to Australia then. No Mayo fan will care, because they've won their All-Ireland. It would be remarkable in Andy Moran's first year in charge to do it. It's already remarkable that he's taken them to back to the All-Ireland final in his first year in charge. And as he said, it's the first final since 2021. But we shouldn't really have been surprised by yesterday's result. Mayo are unbelievable in All-Ireland semi-finals. Like, they can get the job done when it comes to the last four. It's the final that has killed them over the last number of years. But... they all of a sudden, they were criticised in many quarters years gone by, and when people said, oh, they don't, just don't have the forwards. They don't have the forwards. They have one or two marquee forwards, and that's it. Now they have a full forward line that everyone fears, led by Ryan O'Donoghue, as you said, with two young lads around him. And the rest, the half forward line is brilliant. Jordan Flynn around the middle is picking up so much ball. Jack Livingston in goals has been a revelation since he made his debut against Monaghan, remember, just a couple of months ago, up in Clonus. And they just have talent all over this pitch, and they have the strength and depth coming off the bench as well. The likes of Conor Loftus and Cian McHale, who came off yesterday. All of a sudden, we've kind of sleptwalked into Mayo being real contenders in this All-Ireland final.
23 turnovers they won against yesterday. If you want to get involved in the conversation, folks, 0879 180 180. I think the one thing, though, that people will say when they're looking at the form lines, Mayo have beaten, what, Meath, Cork and Louth.
And Monaghan.
To a final. And
earlier on, yes.
And Monaghan.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can only beat who's the team that's in front of you. I thought their game management against Cork was excellent, albeit not a perfect performance. But this, we raved and raved about Kerry's third quarter against Armagh, wasn't it, last year?
But Armagh were champions.
But Mayo's second half performance yesterday was remarkable. To keep Louth from scoring for well over 20 minutes is something that we were all talking about, the Louth dangers before this game. And Louth will be utterly disappointed to go out the way in which they went out yesterday.
How many people from various pockets of Ireland will have things to dine out on for the rest of the year and to reflect with a smile on their face? Westmeath, the footballing community, maybe even Roscommon or even Armagh winning first Ulster in 18 years. Maybe their aspirations beyond that will dampen the feeling. But for Wicklow, what a day. I mean, that's why we get out of bed in the morning. I mean, I know Bolton Glass won a club back in 1990, but for Wicklow to win a trophy and qualify for the All-Ireland Series was something out of a Disney movie, given the halftime scoreline against Down.
This was remarkable. The curtain raiser yesterday, of course, to this Louth-Mayo semi-final, and Wicklow possibly stealing the show just before that game got underway. The Garden County lifting the Tailteann Cup for the first time, creating a new piece of history, and they will play in the All-Ireland Series next year, regardless of what happens. And they're, of course, a Division 4 team. It was the manner of the victory, as you mentioned, John, coming from 12 points down at half-time. So at half-time, Down led by 2 goals and 10 points to 4 points, and were fully deserving of that lead at half-time as well yesterday. And an unbelievable Wicklow performance, coupled with a Down capitulation in the second half, led to this victory for Wicklow, ultimately by 2 points. Wicklow 121, Down 216. So Down only scoring 6 points in the entirety of the second half yesterday. Dean Healy, their captain, scored their goal. And speaking to Off the Ball's Gaelic Games correspondent Tommy Rooney afterwards, he said he thoroughly enjoyed the pressure and build up to this final.
Like, there was no panic at halftime. There was no big speeches or shouting or anything along the lines of that. It was just get back to basics here, lads. This isn't a fair reflection of us as a panel. You know, we thrive in adversity, and the fact that the last couple of weeks, you know, I was a little bit worried because we're a team that generally likes playing matches. So when we're playing week on week, you know, the performance will stay there. But all of a sudden, when you have a 3 week break, and to be fair, the support around the county has been absolutely phenomenal. And I'm generally one that stays away from social media, but you know, I actually immersed myself in it because I wanted that pressure in terms of knowing that if we did get it back, when we got back the tree, I knew we'd come out the right side of it, you know. And I just with the hope of everyone in Wicklow and the support, we knew that. Listen, you lose today, you might keep someone, but if you win today, hopefully this is a platform for, you know, the next number of years and something for all our development squads to actually aspire to. As I said to you, it's something I generally stay away from social media, but I just thought, no, I want to live in this moment. I want the expectation, and I want a bit of pressure to actually knowing that if we do get these boys into a dogfight last 10 minutes, there's only one team that comes out the right side of it.
Wicklow's Dean Healy, well done to Wicklow. Commiserations to Dan.
The way he speaks there, he talks about normally he'd avoid social media, but in the build up to this game he lapped it up and put the pressure on himself. He wanted to feel it all, and the Wicklow people there yesterday, and there were so many of them there, and Oisín McConville made reference to that after the game. An unbelievable moment for this Wicklow team when you consider that they would have been very annoyed with themselves not to have gotten promoted from Division 4 and were very close to get that promotion. They pushed the Dubs all the way in the championship, and yesterday what they did, and in the manner in which they did it, we talk about the full forward line, John, for Mayo. Owen Darcy yesterday with 4 points, Kevin Quinn with 4 points, Oisín McGrainer with 4 points, McGrainer and Darcy with key 2-pointers in there as well. So 12 points in that full forward line, and led by Dean Healy in the middle of the park. And Mark Jackson, of course, in goals as well. Immaculate.
Gaelic Football and Off the Ball brought to you by Movember. Ahead of the game, already reaching over 16,500 players, parents and coaches across Irish clubs with the tools to look after their mental health. Visit aheadofthegame.movember.com to find out how you can be part of it.
There's nowhere to hide as well in Gaelic football.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
There's nowhere to hide or run in Croke Park because
commitments.
You look at this, it's a good reference. I like it. Down in the second half yesterday and loud in the second half yesterday. It just goes to show what can happen very, very quickly for counties. And I don't know what happened to Down. Conor Laverty was almost speechless after the game, trying to put his finger on it. And James O'Donoghue or Paddy Andrews, one of the two, made the point after the game yesterday that Conor Laverty won't sleep for weeks thinking about what happened in that second half. And for Louth and Gavin Devlin, they should be utterly, utterly proud of what they've achieved this year. An All-Ireland semi-final the first time in so, so long. And look, didn't happen for them on the day yesterday, but what a team they have there. And Craig Lennon's injury was a key moment in that game for Louth, that has to be said. And their fans will remember some of the key moments across the year, including that win over Monaghan with 14 men in the quarterfinal, and of course the last minute winner against Armagh as well. So brilliant season for Louth, and they should hold their heads high.
Wimbledon's kind of passed me by with everything that's been going on, to be honest.
Just too much happening, John. But it is men's singles final day at Wimbledon. Defending champion Yannick Sinner goes up against French Open champion Alexander Zverev. World number one Sinner overcame Novak Djokovic in the semi-finals, while Zverev got the better of home favourite Arthur Ferry. That game is due to start at 4 p.m. this afternoon on Centre Court in London. Linda Noskova is the new Wimbledon women's champion. She came through an epic battle with fellow Czech Karolina Muchova yesterday to secure her first Grand Slam title. Muchova saved 5 match points to force a deciding set, but Noskova took it 6-3. I enjoyed Karolina Muchova's interview on the court afterwards after losing, and it's a tough thing to speak after losing a Grand Slam final. And she said, speaking and referencing her ex-friend Noskova, jokingly, because the two of them, of course, very close. But yeah, it was Linda Noskova who got over the line. And I'd be along similar lines to you, John. I think it's passed me by a little bit, but it's because the World Cup is on and the Gaelic Football Championship has just been unbelievable.
Noskova, we did watch that, and she definitely wobbled in that second set. And then she was putting her fingers in her ears when everything were going wrong. So the pressure's definitely getting to her. So for her to be able to reset and win her first ever Grand Slam title was very, very impressive.
Yeah, really well done to her. And of course, we'll keep you up to speed
yes. This
afternoon, 4 o'clock, the start time, as I said, for the
Sinner's Zverev. You're missing Alcaraz as well from this.
Of course, yeah. You need these big names, don't you, in these showpiece events. The golf, the Scottish Open, continues at the Renaissance Club today. Rory McIlroy had a disappointing 3-over par round of 73 yesterday evening, the Masters champion moving back to 6-under for the tournament. That was 6 shots off leaders Robert McIntyre, Minwoo Lee and Matt Fitzpatrick. McIlroy did tee off though at 5-1, and Tom McKibben got his round underway at 12-1 as well.
So McKibben 2-under for his round through 3 and to 7-under par and a tie for 17th alongside McIlroy, who's birdied his opening hole, both 7-under par. Fitzpatrick, McIntyre and Lee all tee off at 10-3. Thursday is when the Open starts at Birkdale.
There is racing in Dundalk today. The first going to post at 2 o'clock. It's got underway at 1:10 in Sligo.
The winner of that, Manoir de Marande, 3-1 of a maiden hurdle. I mean, this is the thing, Gordon Elliott, Jack Kennedy, you think they're only there around Cheltenham time or Punchestown, but they got to pay the bills, as it were, and win for the owners. And they did that today in the opener at Sligo.
Should mention as well the rugby from yesterday.
Yes.
Ireland overcoming Japan by 36-20 to continue their unbeaten start to the Nations Championship. Andy Farrell's side scoring 5 tries, with Connacht back row Sean Jansen enjoying a dream debut by getting on the score sheet. The win follows last week's success, of course, over Australia and keeps Ireland on maximum points. They now face New Zealand in Auckland next weekend. It's all happening, John.
Now, whether it's an iced latte first thing in the morning or an iced white mocha while soaking in the summer sun, Braeburn Coffee's got the perfect iced coffee available exclusively at Apple Green. Braeburn Coffee, made for your summer. Did you had tipped Argentina before the World Cup, didn't you? So you're sticking to that.
Sticking to my guns. You were France? Were you France?
No, I was Portugal.
You were Portugal, okay.
And I got England in the World Cup work sweepstake.
Okay. So are you supporting England or no?
I'm not that much of a mercenary for the money. but I'm not as het up as some other people. Maybe it might not be a bad thing, and they'd be talking about this thing for 60 years. But what I do want to happen is I'd like to see Mbappe win the trophy. I think Mbappe's been amazing in the tournament. I actually like the way he speaks out at important times over what I would see as the right types of issues in society, and he has been brilliant. And I'd love to see him win the Ballon d'Or and lift the trophy. I think he is a generational player, Kylian Mbappe. Look, at club level, he might be seen as an individual force not part of the collective, but with France, he's been very much part of the collective with Deschamps and with the whole of the team. And to be honest, I want to see the best team win the World Cup, and I feel like France has been the best team. I'm really excited about their attack. I love the way Elise plays, Doué plays, Dembele, and I want to see that win the World Cup. And Spain, there's something about Spain, as beautifully silky and smooth and everything, this just, it leaves me a little bit cold.
Yeah. It's clinical, isn't it?
It's just like, a bit clinical.
It's 0-0 and Mourinho comes off the bench and you know they're going to grab a winner, and it's effective, but it's not
a bit too fluid, but yeah. It's not something I can fall in love with. I can fall in love with the French play more than the Spanish play. With England, I just think that the way they switched off yesterday, I mean, Pickford made a mistake for the goal. At times they were shaky defensively, and they had some lion-hearted, excuse that stereotypical phrase, displacement of the likes of Elliot Anderson. Spence, as I said, when he came on. Saka, even when he came on, did well. But they, I just think at times, I'm not so sure defensively. I mean, at corners, they looked a bit vulnerable. Mm. And with Argentina, it's funny, for the Croatia game 4 years ago, Argentina just took off. And then they carried that in probably to the first hour of the final against France. I'm just fascinated to see the pitch of the game, the emotional pitch, and who'll be on it from the get-go between England and Argentina. Because Argentina, once again, at times have been chaotic at this World Cup since they left the group stage.
Yeah.
So France, to me, I mean, France have conceded one shot on target in 180 minutes against Paraguay and Morocco. And they've controlled the ball, and they've been able to leave the likes of, well, I mean, Tchouaméni, maybe he'll have an injury, but Cherki's been on the bench. Barcola was on the bench, came on and made an impact. They just seem to me, a bit like the Kerry footballers possibly later today, to have too many options, too much whack-a-mole for their opponents to be able to deal with. That's why I think they will should win the World Cup, and I hope they do.
I'd love to see a France-Argentina final at this point. Again. Give it to us again.
I just hope there are no more controversies, refereeing controversies. Yeah. It just seems like you just don't want to feel that there's any thumb on the scale. And that's, we're all getting paranoid now because what's happened with the Balogun thing.
That's true. A couple of other bits of quick football managerial news as well. Senegal have sacked manager Papa Thiaw in the wake of their exit from the World Cup in the last 32, had been in charge since December 2024. And of course, they lost their opening couple of games to France and Norway before that win over Iran. And then they were 2-0 up against Belgium, as we remember, conceding those late goals and Yuri Tielemans with the late penalty. So Papa Thiaw gone. And John Fallon in the Examiner reporting that Shelburne have been granted permission from Sligo Rovers to discuss their managerial vacancy with John Russell. So the Irish Examiner reporting on Friday that the Reds had held preliminary talks with Linfield boss David Healy about succeeding the sacked Joey O'Brien, but no formal offer was made. And it appears John Russell now in pole position for the Talca Park hot seat. John.
Shane Hannan, thank you so much for the news round. This is Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk, folks. Going to keep you updated on everything in the world of sport between now and seven. Now, after the break, we're going to hear with Tommy Rooney in conversation with James O'Donoghue, former Footballer of the Year, on that amazing win for Mayo over Lal yesterday, and also look ahead to Dublin versus Kerry. We've got the papers to come between 2 and about 3:15, and then Paddy Andrews will build up from Croke Park until 4 ahead of the Dublin Kerry game, and then we have football World Cup Sunday 4 to 5:30. Owen Doyle and Keith Tracy to look back on those two quarterfinals overnight before we round up all the De Gaelic games action from the afternoon and from yesterday. But James O'Donoghue on the semi-finals is coming up here on the radio after this.
Off the Ball Daily.